and welcome to the Kickstarter edition, September 7th, 2018. This is the show where we talk about the Kickstarter games we're backing, might back, and have already received and played. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
And I'm Chris. And this week, we're backing the Ancient World 2nd Edition, Russian Roulette. We're going to be watching Infinity, Defiances of Fate, or Defiance of Fate, Babel, The Partisans, Microbrew, Guildmaster, and What's for Dinner. And finally, we're not going to end with a review because I didn't review anything this week, but I will end with a couple techie gamey things that I think are cool and I should mention. So I still haven't backed Starcadia Quest. I'm backing something different. Starcadia Quest, I have a few more days, so I'm going to do that next week. But what I did back was the Ancient World 2nd Edition. This is the game, I think I talked about it last week or maybe the week before. These things all blur together. But this is the Ryan Lockett game. It is a empire building, titans attacking, little bit of, well, there's some worker placement, all kinds of cool things, and it's Ryan Lockett. So if you like Ryan Lockett games and Ryan Lockett art, this is one to take a look at. And it ends today as you listen to this. So
what time today?
Oh, let's see. There's 20 about, I'm going to say like 6 Central.
All right.
7 Eastern. 4 Pacific.
I'm not sure you did Central and Eastern, right?
No, 6 Central, 7 Eastern, right?
No, I think it's...
We're addicted to games, not time zones.
Oh, man.
Well, in any case, if you want it, it's only $50. And if you happen to have the first edition, you can get an upgrade pack for $15. So that is the Ancient World 2nd Edition. All right, what'd you get?
I backed Russian Roulette. This is one I talked about, I believe, 3 weeks ago. And it kind of fell off my radar. And then I was looking at stuff today, and I realized this one has 3 days left as you're hearing this. And it just looked fun, so I stuck with it. This is a deceptively cute characters with dangerous motives. Will you be the last one standing, or will your strategy backfire? So it is basically playing Russian roulette, but you have 3 little characters you're playing, and you have different abilities, bullets, kind of stuff that you can use to change the outcome of the standard Russian roulette game. And this is spelled Russian like fools rush in, not Russian like where Vladimir Putin is the president.
I just did a search for Russian Vladimir Putin is the president, and it did not come up on Kickstarter, so I can confirm that.
Yeah, so it's R-U-S-H-I-N apostrophe. And you have until September 10th, so that's Monday, and it is a $20 game. And it looks very interesting and cute.
And cute. All right. That's Russian Roulette. Okay. So this week, there was the week of, I didn't think there was going to be anything interesting. And then I started looking at some stuff and we had some Kickstarter suggestions. And all of a sudden, next week, I want to back like 7 things. So the first one I want to back is called Infinities, Defiance of Fate. A 4X light game. Explore the multiverse in this 4X adventure with infinite replay value for 1 to 4 players of all levels. So this one, when I first looked at it, it's just a white box with like a triple infinity symbol. So kind of a sideways 8 with another circle on it. And I'd seen this box around at a couple convention I was at, but it never really drew my attentions to it. I'm like, an infinity game, whatever. And then I started looking at how this game is set up and how it plays, and I'm like, oh, I'm intrigued by this. So basically what this is an asymmetric game where you are going to play an alien with some kind of powers. And you are going to try to take over, it's a board that's built up with individual hexes. So every time you play the game, it's going to be a little different. On one side, you have kind of a red pattern. On the other side, you have kind of a blue pattern. And I think you're trying to get to one or the other. It's that part I'm not 100% sure, but how it goes from one to the other is kind of interesting. So essentially how this plays is you're going to be moving around these tiles. Each tile has a symbol on it that represents the icon for either playing cards, attacking, or moving. And you're going to roll dice to determine what actions you can take. So there's four dice. One of them is going to match the symbol of the tile you're on. So if I really want to attack, I can move to a tile with attack on there. I guarantee to have at least one attack action. Then I'm going to roll these dice, and they're going to come up with one of those three actions or a little plus symbol. That symbol, you can spend it to change another die to whatever you want it to be. So there's a little bit of random mitigation in here, but still a little bit of you have to work with what you roll. If you don't like your roll, you can reroll all dice, but it's not like the Yahtzee mechanic where you can keep one and roll others. It's either keep them all or roll them all.
All or nothing.
All or nothing. And then you're going to do exactly those things. So you're going to attack, move, or play a card, and you have three cards in your hand. You can save one card from round to round by kind of putting it into the future, but otherwise you either use the cards in your hand or you are going to discard them at the end. At the end of each round, you roll one die, and any tile that has that die symbol on it is going to get flipped over. So suddenly this world that you're kind of building up just like shifts on you. So you're in like a different plane. So I kind of pictured in my head, like every round, about a third of the board is going to change to something else, or maybe a quarter of the board, depending on the different symbols. And I think that's like just kind of a cool concept. But the interesting thing about this is there is like skirmish mode, so you can play against other people, but mostly they're like, this is just for practice and kind of get used to the game. This is a light, they call it a light legacy game, which is basically just like a campaign story game.
Okay.
Yeah. So you play one scenario and there's like branching and you kind of decide. So you're going to play through like multiple scenarios and such. But every time you play, it's going to be a little bit different because the board is going to be totally different. I don't know how the scenarios actually play out, but in general, it looks pretty cool. And the whole thing's only $39. So I'm like, that's a great deal for a game that looks like it has a lot of replayability and scale and pretty art and stuff.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Doesn't it though? So it ends September 19th, so I have to either this week or next. I think I have up to 2 weeks to think about this one. And like I say, $39.
You really are going to have to talk Josh into backing our Starcadia Quest.
I don't know. No, I got to
back that one. With all this stuff on the horizon.
Yeah, but that one has so many add-ons I need as well. I keep looking back at the campaign. I'm like, all right, they're doing pretty good. There's a lot of extra stuff there. But anyway, that's not what we just talked about. What we just talked about is Infinity's Defiance of the Fate. Defiance of Fate. Or some other kind of thing. I don't know. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Babil, I'm going to say.
Okay.
Welcome to the Neighborhood. Babil is a new, highly interactive card game for two players, which involves building a fantasy city. So, I'm not going to lie, I didn't have a lot of time this week to look too closely at details of games, but what this seems like is a tile laying game where it's one versus one. You are each trying to be the new mayor of this fantasy city. You are trying to build the best buildings in the best spots to gain popularity, reputation, and you are... It reminds me a little bit of like a fantasy Sims card game, sort of.
So this says, with a few simple rules, you can learn to play in 5 minutes, and then 1 minute later, you'll start the game. So yep. We should just put it to the test right now and see if we can learn to play in 5 minutes.
I don't have 5 minutes. I have a sleeping baby. But I have lots of time to look into this because it ends on September 26th. A little bit of time there, although that's not actually as far away as I want it to be because time is creeping up on me. It is $28, and that is Babil, spelled B-A-A apostrophe B-E-E-L.
This does look pretty cool. I like this kind of style of art as well. It's kind of that cartoon, it's fantasy cartoon art, but I like this. All right. You need to actually get some rules down for me. And wait, how much is this one?
$28.
It's only $11 cheaper than my other game that I just talked about.
Yeah.
All right, Babil. Now we're going from fantasy light games to The Partisans, an extra politics / extra credit game. This is, all right, so I don't necessarily talk about it a lot on the gaming podcast because seriously, politics is a downer, but I am also very heavy into politics. I listen, half my podcasts are politics, half my podcasts are gaming. I have a very, my subconscious is really messed up. But I saw this game and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, this looks pretty interesting. And actually, this was emailed. This is so when we talk about, you know, if you have a game we should look at, email us at Kickstarter@tabletopgametalk.com. And Azriel.
Yes. Yep, that's how I'd say it.
Yep, emailed us about this particular game. And I think this game looks really, really cool. Now, essentially the way this plays, it's not like you're... It's not a satire game. It's not trying to make fun of the current administration or anything like that. What it is doing is it allows you to play an ideology. So there's six different ideologies. It's blue collar, traditionalist, libertarian, nationalist, communitarian, and then the bourgeoisie, or basically it's the
bourgeoisie.
That is a hard word to say when you look at the letters that say nothing about that.
Il est français.
Yes, it is about the business people of the thing. So you're going to play one of these ideologies, and each one of those has different goals that they're trying to achieve. So it might be civil rights or education or military or business or whatever the case may be. And you're going to have on your card, you either want that particular item to be positive or negative. So the way you're going to do that is you're going to break in each run of the game, you break into two different committees. One person's going to be the committee chair, and the other people are just on the committee. You're going to draw different cards that will represent either positive or negatives of all these different traits that can show up. And you're going to put them together. It can be one card or multiple cards, and you're going to create a bill. And really what you want to do is get your committee to agree that, yes, we would all vote for this. And then hopefully someone from the other side will also vote for it as well. So you're trying to get your bills through that are going to benefit you more than they're going to hurt you. The other committee is doing essentially the same thing. You're then going to vote on both of the bills. And if they go through, you're going to get points based on how well it matches your different goals. And if it doesn't, you're going to lose points. There's also this concept of political capital. And that's sort of the currency of the game. So political capital allows you to play these political action cards that will give you like some special shenanigans that you can do. All in all, this game looks like a lot of fun. It is a 4-6 player only game, and they spin it as a positive. They actually spin it as, we all need more games that we can play at higher player counts. The problem is at 4-6 players, it's a very narrow high player count. But I think this game would be great in any kind of like political science class or that type of thing. I would also think I would enjoy playing this. So some of the reviews I saw on this were essentially along the lines of, it's a very interesting game, and it kind of teaches you how to play that political game, or kind of like a behind the scenes of it, without being political in nature. And maybe like allows you to, you know, play the other side a little bit. Maybe if you're, you know, really pro civil rights, this allows you to, you know, play what it's like to not really care about civil rights and be more pro business or something. Not that those are opposites or anything like that. These are all hypothetical situations. But I think it's a cool idea. So it goes till September 21st. It is $49, and that is The Partisans. And hopefully this funds. It's a little way away from funding, but I think this one, it has a $40,000 goal. At this point, it has $35,000. So I think it's going to fund. It has almost 2 weeks
left. It has time. Yeah.
But that is The Partisans.
I am watching Microbrew, a full-size board game in a tiny tin. A two-player puzzle worker placement hybrid where you lead a team of artisan brewers trying to win customers with the most tasty beer. And I don't know, it sounds pretty straightforward. Sounds like it's hitting a lot of my keywords. That's about all I know about it. It's one I'm keeping an eye on. So, and I have until October 1st.
So this one sounds like the corollary, I think that's the right thing I want to say there, of the whiskey game from last week.
Yes, the whiskey game looks much lighter, much more like a party game to me, where this one actually seems like a fairly heavy game for a small size. And like, you might not want to sample microbrews while you play it, or you might not be very good at it.
That there is a lot in this game. So, and it is a small tin. It kind of reminds me of a Tiny Epic game. So there's...
That's what I was going to say.
Yep. 48 wooden tokens, 6 brewers. Actually, there's almost 60 different wooden tokens in this tin, plus a bunch of customer cards.
It looked like something I wanted to keep an eye on. It was, I believe it's already funded. There's, you know, all different customers that you're trying to, it looks like, kind of fill orders. There's reputation you gain from matching the tastes of the customers, I believe. You've got your brewing beer. You have a brewery. Lots of stuff.
Yeah, no, this looks cool. It actually even has a, like, the whatever the big things are that you brew stuff in, the copper kettles. And yes, it looks like you have to, like, keep those at the right pressure and stuff. So, yes, I like it. So, wait, how long do you have and how much is this?
You have until October 1st, and it is $19.
All right.
And that is microbrew.
Looks cool. So this next one is a game that I passed on, I think, 2 weeks in a row. And then we got an email from Jason Rodney, who's like, hey, what do you think about this game here? Now, I think Jason said that he had heard that it was a little bit like Lords of Waterdeep. I don't think it is, but there are similarities in theme here. So Guildmaster is a game where you're going to play a particular Guildmaster, and you have a starting set of adventurers. They're just novice adventurers, but you're going to use them to either go out and, I guess, build or hire builders to, like, increase your guild hall to make it, like, cooler, so you have special abilities and stuff, or recruit other adventurers. So they may go out and say, hey, adept wizard, you should come to my guild. It's really cool. Or you're going to go on quests, which they call contracts. And the contracts are how you are going to get fame, and ultimately you want to get the most fame in the game to win. So there's a lot of similarities in theme to Lords of Waterdeep, where you're essentially trying to fulfill quests. You have all the different tokens that represent the 4 different types of characters. This one, though, has some really unique things to it, or at least unique in all put together. It's what I would call a programmable action selection game. And by that, I mean, you're all taking simultaneous actions. So you have 4 possible orders. You start out with only 2. And you're going to put what adventures are going to go on those orders and what order they're going to do. That's just represented by cards. And then you all reveal. And if you took the build action, you're going to go and you're going to go to the build action. But if somebody else also took the build action, now you're in competition with each other. So your adventurers have skills, and they will have, like, basically a roll-off to see who can, you know, who's going to be able to do the build action first. Now, both people will be able to do it. One will just get to do it first, and therefore the other person will have maybe more expensive builders or something like that. Okay. When you go on quest for contracts, you're going to kind of choose the contract you want, and if you complete the contract before the other person does, then you're going to have to take a default action, which is basically just kind of mill about, get some money, get some fame, or whatever the case is. And I think the same thing with the adventurers. The adventurers also have a lot of special abilities, and you're going to play over 9 rounds, and then there's these different phases of the moon. So each phase comes up, I think, once. So there's, like, 3 rounds. You have, you know, half moon, full moon, new moon, or something like that. So those are going to cycle through, but on different moon cycles, your adventurers will have different powers and such. So this whole thing looks really, really cool. It looks really straightforward, simple to learn. There's not a lot to the rules themselves, but there's a lot of strategy here, and I really like the simultaneous blind action selection thing, because then it's really, you're only as bored as it takes the slowest player to go beyond the fastest player, as opposed to everyone having to wait for everybody. So, Rodney, thanks for pointing that, or Jason, sorry, thanks for pointing that out. This is going to go till September 20th. It's only $49. And again, it is that classic board game. It's kind of where the board game prices really should be if it wasn't for all the miniatures and stuff they shove in them these days.
I was going to say, like, I'm surprised. I don't think you've picked a game this week that's over $50.
Wait until we get to my just want to give shout outs to section.
All right. Can't wait.
Yeah. And next week with a Starcadia quest, that is going to be over $50 as well. But this one was Guildmaster.
All right. I am watching What's for Dinner. This was an email from David, who apparently has the best birthday in the world.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. And so happy birthday, David. It is this weekend, and it's very exciting. I know I'm celebrating, which is why I didn't have enough time to look at things this week. But this one says, get the entire family to the table, get cravings, hot meals, spend cash. This game can solve life's greatest debate. What's for dinner? So you get two traits to help you decide what types of food you want or don't want. Vegetarians avoid meat, maybe, or maybe you don't like cheese. If you're like me, you don't want mushrooms or onions to touch your food. And I know Chris also hates onions.
But I'm gonna have the pro meat card.
Oh, always.
Yes.
You have all the meat card. Yep. And so you roll a die. It's a special die, which shows one of six types of food: meat, vegetable, cheese, wheat, fruit, and bacon. And you try to use that to make dinner.
Yep. So basically, with whatever the die is, you can select a card. Unless the die comes up and it's an ant. So if I don't want meat and I roll the meat die, then I can't actually use it. So I get money instead. And then you can buy food with money. But yeah, and it looks pretty cool. And basically, the way the scoring works is you're going to have those two traits. And one of the traits is face up. That one can score normal. Actually, no, that one can score double. So if you complete that, you get double score. And the one that's face down, nobody knows what you're collecting. So that one just scores normal points. And then at the end, whoever has the most points wins.
Yeah, it looks like an interesting little game. It is always a big question in my family. What's for dinner? We always like the... After you've suggested three things, you just get to be the beast and yell, go ahead and starve. pretty classic moment in my family.
Yep, yep.
So yeah, this one ends September 27th. There is a $9 print and play version or a $19 physical copy. So you should really just get the physical copy if you're asking me. But, you know, $9 is kind of hefty for a print and play.
It is. And they have to print out or at least give you a die that you can kind of fold into a die as well. Or maybe they give you cards because you could do that too, like randomly pick a card for the die face.
Yeah. But all right. And that's What's for Dinner.
I like this one. Now, this one is kind of a long way. It has 21 days left. It has a ton of buzz and media around it, though. So I'm kind of surprised. There's only right now, I think it's early in the campaign. There's only 55 backers. So you have a chance to get in here on the ground floor and really help them get over their goal, which is only 7,500. So they like bacon. You can't really knock them for
that. Can't go wrong with bacon.
All right. In lieu of an article, or not an article, a review, I am going to point out two different techno Kickstarters this week. But before I do that, I also want to bring up that there is a game at the top of the BGG hot list that I noticed, and I don't know if this is my kind of game, so I kind of want to take a closer look at it, but I want to mention it. Nanti Narking, which is a truly Victorian board game of wit and podsnappery. Martin Wallace's best-selling title in a brand new deluxe edition. So if you're familiar with the Martin Wallace best-selling title of something or other, I just wanted
to... I gave this one a brief glance, but it was a little high for my price range. So I maybe should give it a second look if it's getting this much buzz around it.
It looks
pretty cool.
Yeah, it has almost 2,222 people backing it right now. So this is a hot one. And again, I just wanted to mention that I don't have any other information on it just yet. It does go for two more weeks. So I will possibly talk about this next week when I get a little bit more information on it. The next thing I wanted to talk about was Spatial, the multiplayer holographic AR tabletop gaming. Now, we've talked about AR being augmented reality and board games before. These guys are doing it in a really interesting way. The way this little contraption works is it's kind of a stand and it's a piece of glass. And you put your tablet on a stand, on a kind of a slanted stand that's reflecting against the glass. So as you look through the glass, you'll also see the reflection of the tablet. There's a camera in this stand that when you put different pieces out in front of it, it'll detect that, it'll feed that back to your tablet, and then your tablet will put the right you know, pieces it wants to show up on the table on the right places in the screen. This is really this reflection technology. It's more of a heads-up display technology than augmented reality, but it has that augmented reality feel. The other thing that's really interesting with this is it doesn't, it's not like a single game. It is a game system. So you can actually, you know, pick and choose all kinds of different games you can play. They have one plugin which allows you to place, like make a D&D setup, and then you move the different pieces around that represent the characters. But once you've locked in the terrain, it'll always be in the same 3D space. And as long as everyone's looking through this glass, and you can have multiple of these set up, so they all can look at the same place.
Oh, this is really weird looking.
Yeah. So I thought this was a really interesting idea. The other thing about it is it's very, very limited. As we record, I think there's only like less than 20 available. So and that's not because they didn't make a ton. It's just that this thing sold a ton already. But yeah. Doesn't it look cool?
This is so weird looking.
I think it's a really interesting way to make it kind of cheaper than it would typically be for like AR goggles, because it's only $60 a unit. And then you use your tablet to actually do all the brains behind it.
This looks so interesting. I really am. I don't like if it works the way that it shows it working in these videos. That's really cool.
Exactly. Like, and they have one that's like a Magic the Gathering. Well, it's a Magic dueling card game one where you put down these cards and it recognizes them. And then you have these little figures that are representing yourself with the floating health and such. And how you move the cards will determine what they attack.
It looks like.
Yep.
Yeah, it works with Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh, Hearthstone, or...
Well, I think...
No, it is for people who are fans of... There we go. Yes. I can read.
Yep. But it's a really, really cool idea. So I wanted to mention it.
It does look really neat.
Yep. I probably won't back this, even though it's super, super cool. But if you are interested in that AR type of thing, this is a cheap, cheap way to get into it. Like I say, as I speak right now, there are 8 sets of 2 available and 2 sets of 4 available. So that's it. And then it looks like the campaign would be completed, even though it says it has, you know, 6 days left. So it goes till the 13th. And to get the 2, it's $110. You get 2 units for about $55 each, and you get 4 units for $55 each. But you have to buy them in 2s and 4s. So that is Spatial, multiplayer holographic AR tabletop gaming. And then the other one I was looking at, this was an email from Brad. Actually, this is Brad's project, and it's called Big 20. And the best way I can describe this is a Bluetooth magic 8-ball shaped as a D20 that you can make pretty much anything come up on the little screen that reveals. This looks neat. It is the most expensive D20. Actually, I can't say that. I have seen D20s that are more expensive than this.
I feel like you own D20s that are more expensive than this. You have that giant metal one or something.
Yeah, but even that one was only like $35. So this one, this is $60 is what you'll have to pay to get the D20.
It's not just a D20.
It's not just a D20. It is a magic 8-ball with a really nice color graphic display that you can actually put anything on. So you can like... you know, shake it to see what monster shows up. Or, I mean, you can obviously do the D4s through D20s, but you can do D anything. It just looks like a D20.
Did you read the blurb? You wrote the blurb here.
I did not read the blurb. You can read the blurb.
A fully customizable digital dice roller for tabletop role-playing games. Randomize anything.
Exactly. So I think this is neat. I'm going to say it is probably... more expensive than people are willing to pay at $60. But I don't know that it's not worth it at $60. So,
and I did look into this a little bit after Brad emailed us, and it looks like it uses the actual motion, but it uses that as its like seed to randomize the number.
Yep. So it's like,
which is so cool.
Yeah. It's a shake to get a random number pop up. And it's like really cool animations and stuff that are popping up on the screen.
It looked really neat.
Yep. I think the die is because it's just a red die, a big red plastic die as opposed to a black pool ball. Kind of think of it that way. There needs to be some kind of stylization that you can put on there so that you can kind of customize it a little bit more. And that would probably put me over the edge. Because I like being able to customize things. But otherwise, this is cool. It does come with a Bluetooth app, it is Bluetooth. There's an app you download, and that's how you get all of the different types of things you can put on here. And that is the D20.
It's big 20.
Big 20.
Big 20.
Which, like I say, it looks very, very cool. Give me flames. All right, I think that is it. I think we're good. I think you can go have a birthday weekend and deal with a teething. Is it teething baby?
It's a teething baby.
All right.
It's been a teething baby before, though, and we remain toothless. He's like the dragon, but you know.
Aw. Well.
We'll see.
Soon enough.
Yeah. Sooner than I hoped for. Or maybe not. I don't know.
This is Can't just the decide first if one. Teeth are...
I know. Well, my fear with his teething behavior recently is we're going to go from zero teeth to like five teeth in like one day.
That's better than like one every other week or so and just the constant torture.
It's true. Get it all over with at once.
Yeah. All right. Read this outro and then I'll let you go.
Okay. Thanks for listening. The Kickstarter edition is produced by Tabletop Game Talk Studios, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Be sure to check out our on-topic episode anywhere you find your podcasts or at tabletopgametalk.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at Tabletop Game Talk Podcast, Twitter at Tabletop Game TLK. I'm Lawful Good Mom, and Chris is Game Master Chris. If you have a Kickstarter you think we should check out, email us at kickstarter@tabletopgametalk.com. And finally, thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jill Jam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, and the SGC.
Until next week, keep playing games and having fun.